please welcome Kirk Henning.
So when I was a kid, in my imagination, at any one time, I was one of four people. I was either a soldier, or a secret agent, or Batman, or a cowboy. And my imagination was seeded by TV shows at the time, classic TV shows. They don't make them like that anymore. My soldier was seeded by Combat, a show called Combat, black and white. Vic Morrow played Sarge, about World War II combat patrols. My secret agent imagination was seeded by Man from U.N.C.L.E., secret agent. My Batman imagination was seeded by Batman, starring Adam West, the greatest show ever. And my cowboy imagination was seeded by mostly the Lone Ranger, with Clayton Moore and Silver, that beautiful white horse Silver. Now, I took those seeds of the TV shows and encompassing those people, and then every day I would play. I would be one of those. If I was a soldier, I had an army helmet, and I had some sort of toy machine gun, and I would hide behind bushes looking for the enemy, and I'd be the only one playing the game, but the enemy would be there. If I was a secret agent, I had a briefcase. I think my dad gave me one of his old briefcases, and I pretended it had a little secret camera on the side, and I'd sneak around and pretend I was filming my family during conversations. One time for my Batman imagination, when I was a little kid, I faked being sick and stayed home from school and got a pair of my sister's tights and then put my whitey tighties over those and then wore a t-shirt and then a towel for a cape, and I jumped from the couch to the chair and was powing and ka-powing the enemy right and left until the door opened, and there stood my grandma and my dad and my sister, my grandma and my dad, their mouths just open, and my sister just laughing hilariously. The cowboy mostly was with, I had a G.I. Joe doll, but I also had a cowboy doll, and with his horse, a beautiful Palomino. And so I would just pretend I was in the Old West different scenarios, it didn't come until a couple years later that, in my imagination, I felt like if I was a cowboy, I grew up in the West, and I was so much a cowboy that any horse that I got on top of, I would be able to ride expertly, right off the bat. I'd be a cowboy. Wouldn't be a problem. I was off to a good start. There was a Piggly Wiggly in Reseda, and it had one of those fiberglass horses in the front that goes round and round. You put a nickel back in. Back then it was probably a nickel, and I got on top of that horse and then go round and round. I felt pretty good. I felt pretty cowboyish. Felt like I had that horse under control. And then later on, I graduated back. And in those days, there was sometimes a man would come by leading a little pony around the neighborhood, like it was an ice cream truck, but it was a man leading a little pony around, and for whatever, a dollar or whatever, he'd give little kids rides. And I got on top of that horse. He had a little cowboy hat I put on, and he would walk right next to me while I was riding the little horse around. Felt pretty good. Felt like a cowboy. I had everything under control. Things took a turn for the worse after that. The next time I rode a horse, we took a trip to South Dakota, where my family are farmers, and I was with my great uncle Leo and my great aunt Hazel, and one of their kids had a horse, Flash. She was a mare, beautiful pinto mare. And he got one of my cousins, to take us out to ride Flash. And Flash had a colt, beautiful little colt. And so we got out there, and we were unsupervised. And it was me and my sister and a cousin of mine, and we started riding Flash around. And the colt would just follow right next, just hugging her mom wherever we went. And things were going pretty good for a while. Felt very cowboyish, had everything in control. But that colt just started getting a little more and more jealous that people were writing her mom, and she didn't like it. So first she'd start off just kind of putting her head up on Flash's rear end, and then it got to the point where she'd just put both her hooves on Flash's rear end, and as soon as that happened, Flash went into an uncontrollable run with me on top, hanging on for my dear life. And somewhere along the line, she stopped, I got off. I was not a cowboy then at all. There was no cowboying going on. A couple years later, we were back in South Dakota with some other cousins, and my second cousin, Annie, she had her two boys take us out to ride one of her horses. I can't remember its name, but for the sake of this story and a little foreshadowing, let's call it Buck. And I got on top of Buck. Buck was a tall horse, and I was a little nervous and wasn't quite sure how things were going to go this time, as far as I wasn't feeling cowboy yet. But then things started settling in a little bit. I started to feel pretty confident riding Buck around, and then all of a sudden Buck just started bucking. And I didn't understand why until I turned around to look and saw my two cousins just laughing, both of them with handfuls of pebbles that they were throwing at Buck's rear end. Oh, they had a good time. Well, it was years later when I rode a horse. I was up at my sister's house. My niece, this past Thanksgiving, reminded me of it. Every time I see her, she reminds me of this, and she starts laughing. And it was a time when my sister had a horse named Lucky. And this is a short story with Lucky. I just got on Lucky. About 2 seconds later, Lucky just started running as fast as he could, uncontrollably. I was not having good luck being a cowboy up to this point at all. And then a little bit after that, I was at my second cousin's house, Betty Jean, who lives in Newhall. And across the street from her, I saw a horse in running around in its paddock, a beautiful white horse, and it was just running, just a proud horse. And I went up to the fence to look at it and just watch it. It was a beautiful horse. I came back and said, "Man, that's just a beautiful horse." And Betty Jean said, "Oh, yeah, that's Silver." I said, "Oh, they named their horse after Silver, huh? Pretty cool." And she said, "No, that's Silver." Said, that was Silver the horse, retired from being the Lone Ranger. And while I watched Silver, I just thought, boy, I wish I was a cowboy now, just rearing up on that horse. Well, a few years later, we took a trip. Now I had a family, married, two young daughters. We took a trip up to Kings Canyon, where there's some stables, and told the girls, okay, we're gonna rent some horses, and we're gonna take them up to take some ride. And we get there, they give us a couple horses. Now, the horse they gave me, I'm a big guy. You can see I'm a big guy. And they gave me just like this little pony size looking. And I just felt so bad for it. I thought, man, I'm sorry, but I guess I'm riding you. Now, the horses just go straight up a hill to a crest, just straight up to the hill. And I thought, this horse is never going to make it. Little did I know that the horse was saying to me, this is our horse whispering going on back and forth, just get on my back, motherfucker. You just wait and see what I got. Now, the lady that was the stable, she said, yeah, they're kind of out of shape, these horses. It was just right after winter. They said they've been wintered all, you know, for the last few months. And so they're just kind of getting back in shape and stuff. Well, I got on top of that horse. I don't remember its name, but for the sake of this story, let's call it Sparky. And I got on top of Sparky and just started riding. And if there was a conversation going on, it was real quiet. Sparky was just like, I got a job to do. I'm taking you up this hill, and you just got to go with me. That's what you got to do. You just got to go with me. And that's kind of what happened. I just started riding this horse, and we were going around switchbacks, back and forth, back and forth. I kind of learned how to sit up in the stirrups a little bit to take the switchbacks, and everything just seemed really smooth. And Sparky was just a beast, just climbing up that hill. And I just couldn't believe it. Sparky was hardly breathing at all. I was breathing harder than Sparky was, and I just felt really like a cowboy, riding up that hill. Finally felt like a cowboy, and it was just in time because it was in front of my two daughters. And if anyone needed to see me be a cowboy, it was them. But they knew I direct musicals, so it was like I was... They weren't seeing cowboys. They still don't see a cowboy. But anyway, finally I had my good horse ride. So there's my story for you.